And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, Sirius XM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Shy City. For the better part of the next hour and a half, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the book. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Guests, if we had any, would join us on the Score hotline. Presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. Any breaking news, it may materialize. And who knows? Yes, it is late in the evening. But if there is any breaking news and it takes place here on the Score, it is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And now that we do know the game has gone final, there is a chance. Who knows? Maybe we get to some live press conference coverage here as we are beyond the Pro Football Hall of Fame game. Press conferences on the Score presented by Hyundai and your local Hyundai dealers. So the interesting thing is, and I actually saw this tweet from Fishy Business, Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. He tweeted just a few short minutes ago, the last time the Bears played in a preseason game that was called due to weather, August 22nd, 1996, a 14-10 loss to the Chiefs that ended in the third quarter because of lightning. That's right. 1996 was the last time that happened, nearly 30 years ago, 28 years ago to be exact, actually, just a few weeks short of 28 years to be as precise as plausible. 21-17 ends up being the final score. They did not even get a complete three quarters in at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. It is a fun venue. It is a historic venue. And we know the reason the Bears were there. We know the reason the Texans were there. Three Hall of Famers will be enshrined come Saturday representing the Chicago Bears. First game of the NFL preseason, Chicago Bears took on Houston. Whole lot of offense being performed out there. Whole lot of looks at these new kickoff rules that the NFL has instituted for this coming season, taking a page out of the Spring Football League calendar, out of the UFL's playbook. And I think there was a lot that that came out of it, a lot that got looked at. I'm sure Richard Hightower will have plenty to say to the media. In the end, though, they didn't get three quarters in. Lightning delay. Rains came. Interviews were had. Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles joined Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, the Hall of Famer, who was sporting his gold jacket. I certainly respect that on a Hall of Fame game night. So Troy Aikman had his gold jacket on in the booth, and Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles joined them in the booth after the rains came and the lightning sent everyone running sideways to and fro. Eventually, they got to the point where the game was called, but that 21-17 score that the Bears had the lead with ended up being the final. And there was a lot that took place on the field out there, even though while it was the preseason debut for 2024 of the Chicago Bears, it was not the debut of Caleb Williams. You may have heard the Bears starters ended up resting, relaxing, because there is this additional preseason game. Times have changed over the years, so didn't necessarily get to see a lot of coaching staffs. I played in a Hall of Fame game at one point many, many moons ago, and way back when, the thought was, back when everybody was playing four preseason games and you add the Hall of Fame game into that, so sure, you get a fifth preseason game in. The thought was, let's go ahead and play them starters too. Not a whole lot. They weren't going to get a whole lot of run. They weren't going to get a whole lot of reps, but back in my day, you had teams that were making sure they were getting their money's worth at all the guys, making sure they were getting at least a decent lather in every game that would take place during the preseason. You'd kind of ramp them up toward that third game, and then the fourth game, there'd be nothing going on. That's when everybody would sit the starters in that fourth and final preseason game. So now that in recent years the NFL has downsized, they have added the regular season 17th game and decreased the preseason from four games to three. So now having this Hall of Fame game as the fourth game, it's kind of served a dual purpose here because it has given Matt Eberflus and the Bears the opportunity for earlier practice time, additional practice time, and that in theory should be a good thing for the rookie, the number one overall pick in this NFL draft, Caleb Williams, to be able to get out there and get more time on task, more opportunities to work with Shane Waldron, his offensive coordinator. And one thing that I liked about tonight, even though we didn't end up seeing Caleb Williams play in the game, which I, because of some of these old school and or traditional, if you will, caveman-esque sensibilities that I might have about the sport of football, I do believe there's a lot of benefit that would have been had from playing Caleb just a little bit, not a whole lot, probably not even as many snaps as Tyson Bagent ended up playing in the game. I don't know his total snap count. He probably didn't even hit double digits. But to get Caleb a series, I wouldn't have minded that, man. But I like the fact that they at least during pregame warmups, and it was obvious they had discussed this with Caleb, they told him the plan coming in, said, you know what, Caleb, here's what we're going to do. You're going to go ahead, get suited and booted, get padded up, even though we've known for day, well, we've probably known for weeks. We told everybody a few days ago that you weren't playing in this game, but here's what we're going to do, K-Dub. We're going to put your helmet on. We're going to let Shane talk to you in the headset a little bit. We're going to get you out there in pregame warmups and at least get into that routine. When I'm talking about muscle memory, the big advantage of muscle memory is that you want things to feel as natural, as old hat, as repetitive as possible once Caleb Williams gets to the regular season. You don't want him to feel out of his element. You don't want much to feel out of sorts when he takes the field. And so something as simple as saying, Caleb, go ahead and go through essentially the dog and pony show of pregame warmups. So now at least that's one more opportunity while you're not at risk, you're not at harm's way, but this is now something that is now logged into the, you know, even if it's just in the subconscious, but this is likely now in the conscious mind of Caleb Williams. Here's what pregame warmups with the Chicago Bears feels like. This is what we will do. This is how it will flow. And so once you do get to the regular season, and I know a lot of you out there listening right now thinking that this sounds inane, this sounds ridiculous, that this sounds unnecessary. And if they wouldn't have had Caleb Williams go through pregame warmups, I'm not telling you that it enhances the possibility or makes it likely that he'd fall on his face in his first regular season game, but there is reasoning behind it. There is methodology in the approach to at least say, let's just kind of get that out of his system. Now, in my mind, and there's a lot of voices, a lot of faces, a lot of senior leadership within the Bears brass that kind of goes through these decisions, has these conversations. So Matt Eberflus might have completely agreed with the idea of playing zero snaps of Caleb Williams in this game. But whether he did or didn't, I don't believe it's a decision that he made in a vacuum. I don't believe it's a decision he made by himself. This is made in concert with Ryan Poles. This is made in concert with some of the Bears brass. We certainly know Kevin Warren was in the house there because he ended up, as I mentioned, on Monday Night Football in the booth next to Ryan Poles and Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. And they had a nice little interview that we'll play. And I have Tyler Butterball play that for you in a few minutes. So you'll hear the time that the Bears president / owner representative and the general manager end up spending on national television as action on the field got suspended in tonight's Hall of Fame game. But maybe everyone's completely on the same page. I would imagine there's a little bit of back and forth, some conversation in the room here, because the dichotomy that I've been describing since last season ended, since before the Bears ended up drafting Caleb Williams, that dichotomy still exists. It'll exist all throughout the regular season. Matt Eberflus is a coach in season three, leading the Chicago Bears. He has a drastically losing record as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And so this is a season where everyone is saying that this is a roster that's primed for victory. This is a Bears franchise that's on the cusp of ascending. We haven't really. We saw some inklings of that ascension late last season. Justin Fields returns from the injury, 7 games to go. They win more than they lose. They're, you know, right there on the cusp of a couple of other victories. You know what? Things are looking up. But that being said, that was just an inkling. Now going into this season, there are big hopes, big expectations, a much improved roster, a defense that returns intact and in some ways enhanced, certainly enhanced in experience, enhanced in money, enhanced in confidence, and an offense that definitely is enhanced in playmakers to and fro. So with that in mind, now Matt Eberflus feels like, and the outside world, in some ways more importantly, the perception of this Bears team is that they have a roster that is ready to roll. So much so, they didn't need to bolster a whole lot in the draft. They did their work in free agency. They did their work in re-signing veterans. They did their work in the trade market. They brought in all this additional talent at receiver and backup tight end and a running back. And now you get the number one overall pick at QB. So Matt Eberflus has this rookie quarterback who he's going to be expected to win a bunch of games with this season. It's happened before, but it's rare. It's rare that a number one overall pick steps into a situation and immediately turns a losing team into a winning team. And of course, we have talked about quite a bit on this station, the position that Caleb Williams steps into, where this does seem to be a ready-made roster for victory. And a lot of the pummeling that the Bears have taken in recent seasons have led this roster to the point where they do seem primed for victory, not only in their sheer physical talent, but also in their DNA, in their demeanor, in what they've been through and built towards. And now there's a potential that they're on the cusp of something here, but we don't often see rookie quarterbacks achieve at a high level in these scenarios. We don't usually see rookie quarterbacks, rookie first round picks coming in, winning at a high level. It has certainly happened. There's current examples and past examples where it takes place, but it's not the norm. Matt Eberflus knows it's not the norm. That's the dichotomy that I referenced there with the position Matt Eberflus finds himself in a season where he, as the head coach of the Chicago Bears with this enhanced roster, is expected to win at a high level. So how does he make sure his rookie quarterback is as prepared as possible to lead this team to victories? Because the surrounding him with talent part, that's not his gig. That's Ryan Poles' gig. Ryan Poles, everyone feels like, has accomplished that at a really high level. And I would
he's a guy you really like to like.
And he's a very likable guy. Ryan Poles is a very likable guy. He's got a good smile. Caleb Williams got a great smile. A lot of likable chaps on this team. There's a reason DJ Moore got paid. A lot of it is about his playmaking ability. Part of it about just who he is as a person, what he is in the locker room as well. We'll talk about DJ Moore's contract a little bit later in the time that I'm here with you as well. But for Matt Eberflus, having this rookie quarterback, I would imagine, as a defensive coach, as a somewhat old school kind of mentality sort of guy, that there was that inkling in his mind where he would have liked to have, you know, let Caleb get a little bit lathered up in game action as well. The decision was made that that didn't end up happening, but I do like the fact that they at least got Caleb out there in some pregame warmups. Again, it's a small thing. In the end, it's not going to be something that determines whether or not the Bears win the Super Bowl this season, but it's something. It's a scintilla of ingredient. It's just a little element, an additional little piece of the puzzle that they're trying to put together to have Caleb as ready as possible by the time this thing gets to week one in the regular season. So as opposed to him just 100% having the night off, being able to shut it down mentally and physically and not be locked in, they said at least go out there, put your helmet on, put your shoulder pads on, warm up a little bit, throw the ball around some, let's get some reps in. DJ Moore is going to be out there dressed and ready to roll for warm-ups too. Then go in and peel everything off and watch the game. Put the earbuds in, listen to the play calls, get those mental reps. But I do like that there was at least something that Caleb got out of the night. Was it a lot? No. Pre-game warm-ups is not a lot that Caleb got out of the night, but I do like the fact that they at least had him do that, because now that'll be one less thing that's going to be new, that's going to be fresh, that's going to be in some ways uncomfortable for Caleb Williams the next time, the next week, when he steps onto the football field with the Bears for the first time. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767 is the number to give me a call here if you want to talk about what you saw on the field tonight. When I take a timeout, I'm going to come back and I am going to discuss what actually happened on the field of play. We talked a lot about Caleb, about the approach that the Bears took with Caleb Williams in the game tonight, or the approach that they didn't take with Caleb Williams in the game tonight. And I know for the most part, modern sensibilities, most folks completely agree with that. I'm not going to hammer the Bears for not playing Caleb, but I wouldn't mind it if they got him a series, just to get that out of his system a little bit too. There's risk available everywhere you go, every step you take, every move you make. I wouldn't mind him getting a series, but I'm not going to hammer them about not getting him any work in game. But there's a lot of guys who did get some work in game that I did find really very intriguing, especially on offense, quarterback, running back, receiver, and on defense. A couple of these young cats on defense out there doing some things too. There is a lot for us to discuss between now and midnight. I am Anthony Herron, my guy Tyler Butteball on the ones and twos. Go ahead and hit me up at 312-644-6767, reacting to the Hall of Fame game the Bears just played. Didn't complete all the action, but a lot of it took place in nearly three quarters. Much to discuss next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The Bear.
Third down and four. End zone, why not? How about some more? Number 80, Colin Johnson, and Liev get ready to say his name into the microphone. And Brett Rippon, what a body of work tonight. 9-yard touchdown. And Colin Johnson is making a statement here tonight.
Yeah, really good, because Johnson, when he releases, he's inside of the defender, and he knows, of course, that he's going to then take it to the back pylon. He's got to be able to work through that. You see he's on the left of the screen, and he's got to work through that over the top. Defender's expecting him to continue on the crossing route. He comes back out, and the anticipated throw by Rippon. That's good execution by those two, and it has been throughout this game.
That's how it sounded on ESPN and ABC. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. Lisa Salters on the sidelines, interviewing Hall of Famers, interviewing Caleb Williams, getting it all in. And it was rather prescient of Joe Buck just moments before that touchdown that Tyler Butteball played for you there. He was kind of hyping up Hard Knocks. He was letting everybody know, hey, man, this game is being put together by Bears quarterback Brett Rippon, Bears third-string quarterback Brett Rippon, and, I don't know, seventh-string, ninth-string receiver Colin Johnson, whatever he is, on the depth chart. Man, it's going to get some play on Hard Knocks. When you get this this HBO Max, when this show hits Max in a few days, that first episode, when they lead into the Hall of Fame game, you're going to hear a lot about this Brett Rippon, Colin Johnson connection. And then, literally, the very next play. And I know a lot of folks overuse the term, the word, literally. It was literally the next play, just as Joe Buck was setting that up. Then you get a touchdown pass from Brett Rippon to Colin Johnson. And a lot of folks don't really know. You know, you've heard the name Brett Rippon because he's been on the Bears roster. They acquired his rights over the offseason. He hadn't actually been around here very much or for very long yet. He's bounced around the NFL with a few different teams, and you know, he's had a few opportunities here and there. He's like playing overseas somewhere for a while, and you know, he's kind of finishing up the spring football league situation, and now here he is, an actual member of the Chicago Bears. They've been planning to sign him. They've been knowing he was going to be here for quite some time, and now he finally shows up in Chicago. So it's been the first opportunity for Bears fans to actually watch him, see him play. And got to tell you, he looked impressive. I mean, the very first series he was out there, just looking at the pocket presence, and you're seeing a guy that looks very refined in his game. And I actually, as I was thinking about tonight's show earlier today and knowing that Tyson Bagent was going to get the start, and, you know, not really knowing for sure how much or how long Tyson Bagent would play, but one of the topics I was kind of thinking I'd get into tonight was that it's okay to show Tyson Bagent love And what it turned into last year with Tyson Bagent as a rookie undrafted free agent was this Bagent versus Fields conversation that was just weird and silly and sort of just, you know, exhausting because it was just so, you know, overwrought with all these different things that people, you know, seemingly just factoring in, you know, unrealistic traits and tendencies for what Tyson Bagent represented to them. But he did represent a really cool story for a rookie undrafted free agent as a quarterback who ends up becoming the backup for the Chicago Bears. That was an incredible accomplishment for Tyson Bagent, for what he's been. And there was a lot about his game that was very refined as a, you know, mechanically advanced pocket quarterback, let's say. You know, there's some other aspects to his game that are impressive as well. He's not immobile, but the aspects of his game that are most refined are his quickness with the delivery, his decisiveness, his accuracy, those elements of his game that operate from within the pocket. There's some physical limitations there. From Brett Rypien, though, he was really impressive tonight. So I'm not going to say the Bears should anoint Brett Rypien ahead of Tyson Bagent, or that Brett Rypien did something tonight that makes me think that he is about to surpass Tyson Bagent on the roster. But I would say this: to view depth at the quarterback position, depth at any position, is a positive. But just like last season when we saw Tyson Bagent step into a preseason game and then have multiple preseason games where he looked like he belonged, he looked comfortable and composed and capable of competing at this level and doing so, you know, with accuracy and efficiency and running the offense, Brett Rypien certainly did that tonight. And I mean, his backstory indicates as to why. You know, like Kellen Moore was a quarterback when he was at Boise State. I called a bunch of his games in college for NBC and NBC Sports Network, and he was a very physically limited quarterback, but ended up having one of the most statistically spectacular quarterbacking careers we had seen in college football history. But it was mainly because of what was between his ears. And then Brett Rypien steps into the high school level in Spokane, Washington, and breaks all of Kellen Moore's passing records as a high schooler in the state of Washington, then follows in his footsteps at Boise State and breaks his passing records at Boise State, and is the nephew of Mark Rypien, you know, former Super Bowl MVP who had a fantastic pro football career. Brett Rypien has pedigree. So, you know, in some ways there's some similarities between Brett Rypien and Tyson Bagent. Brett Rippin's been around the block a lot more. He's older and more experienced. But as far as just a guy who's been really statistically significant during his college career, not at the Power 5 level, but competed at a much higher level than Tyson Bagent did in college, and you get him into an NFL game and you see the refined aspects of the way he plays, so it was impressive. So, that you know, I think that's worthy of note without saying that, hey, you know, this guy's going to be the Bears' number two. Not going that far. I think Tyson Bagent, you know, he's more than competent enough to think that Brett Rypien isn't just going to step in and surpass him right off the bat. But it's nice to see Brett Rypien look impressive in the game tonight. He certainly did that. He accomplished looking impressive against Houston's backups. So, I mean, you know, it's a data point is the thing. That's all it is. Look good. It was impressive, good for him, but it was a data point. Ryan Clark was talking about it in the pregame a little bit, where you get opportunities where the starters, the guys who know they're going to be counted on by the team, when they're standing on the clothes in sidelines during a preseason game, you know, standing on the sidelines wearing street clothes and sweats, then somebody else gets an opportunity to step in, and Brett Rypien certainly took advantage of that, as did Colin Johnson. Matt Eberflus had some reaction to those performances and others, so we will hear from the Bears head coach in just one moment. I am Anthony Herron. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.